Luke chapter 14, verses 27 through 30. Luke chapter 14, verses 27 through 30. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's Luke chapter 14, 27 through 30.
It's a lesson that is geared to honor those that are going on to college, to honor those that have graduated from college, and to honor those that are just on their way coming up, and as a result, hopefully, will be in college. At what cost? College is a lesson. At what cost? College. Stafford loans, everybody has heard of those. Some may still owe. Perkins loans, some may still owe. Parent Plus, amen. How about FAFSA? We all want, hits home, doesn't it? We all want as fortunate enough as some to receive full ride scholarships, so the majority of us and our parents have to pay for our college. But at what cost do we pay for those things? You know, it's the end of May, and there's a lot of graduations going on, a lot of celebrations, and we are certainly in the middle of that, and we love the fact that we are in the middle of that. Because what it means is it means that there's progress for our offspring, and there's progress for us in the future as well. But then the middle of August is going to come, the 1st of September, and thousands of young people are going to head off to college for the fall semester, pursuing a higher education. The majority of those students are young men and women from 18 to 24 years of age, and they represent every possible facet of our society and the world. It's not just our kids, but they're going to meet up with a whole lot of kids from different and varying areas of this world. A lot of diversity are going to be in their lives. Will you be among that group? Or maybe you're finally at the stage in life where you says, my child is graduating, hallelujah. And your son and daughter will be in that group. It's cause for celebration. It's cause to sit up and pay attention, because lives are going to be changed not only today but forever and in the future. So today this is an open letter to those who are going away to college, or to those who are sending their children away to college. This is an open letter to you. Because college, as it seems today, is necessary for the possibility of career development. Long gone are the days when we worked our way up from the mailroom with a high school diploma. That doesn't happen anymore. The demand is a bachelor's degree or a master's degree just to apply for entry-level positions. You have to have it just to get in the door. I indeed understand a degree is needed for what a lot of people call success, but just what is success? Does a degree dictate to you what success should and ought to be? And at what cost is that success achieved? You know, for me, it never was the scholastic education that caused fear for me, because I never met a test that I didn't like, never did. So it wasn't the fear of the education that caused me problems. It was the atmosphere surrounding that education, the atmosphere. What will it cost you to go? What will it cost you to send your kids into that atmosphere? And when you go, what will you leave behind when you go to college? What are you going to leave behind? The college atmosphere offers us the opportunity to leave ourselves and be somebody different. It offers you that opportunity. It offers you the opportunity to leave your self-worth and your confidence behind. It offers you that. The world does that. See, in high school, you were set and confident. And most of the time, you stayed out of trouble. You knew who your friends were, and however many or few that was, you knew who they were, and that you can count on them or not count on them. You knew who they were. You had the confidence to say no to the things that you didn't want to. And most of your friends supported that decision. One of the greatest decisions that you made was to become a Christian. One of the greatest decisions that was ever made in anybody's life, whether they're going to college or not, was to become a Christian. And some have not made that decision yet in their lives. I'm going to urge you today to make that decision to become a Christian. You obeyed the gospel and you gave your life to serving God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And now you leave home and you find yourself in college. You find yourself on a different campus, in a different scene, a different surrounding. You've left home, and suddenly you feel out of place, like a fish out of water. You feel excited, but you really don't know how to feel because you know any better, because you've never been there before. You've heard all these stories about how college is going to be and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. But now you're desperate to find acceptance among all those new faces around you. But all too often, their desires and their traits and their actions, those people are around you, all those things that they are bringing to your plate are foreign to you because it wasn't your lifestyle before college. You know anything about those people. You didn't know them at all. And now they're thrust right in the forefront, and you're standing there. And what do you do? What do you do? What will you leave behind in order to be accepted by those people that you don't even know? What will it cost you? Will you give up your sense of reason to know what should and shouldn't be done? Will you take on the desire to be equal with those around you? Will you forget the fact that you are special already to those that love you, your family, and especially you are so special to God? Will you forget that fact? What will you give up? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us that Christians are not those that simply blend in. We don't blend in. We're not to imitate those in the world. We are to be different, set apart, and acceptable before God, not acceptable to the college board or the people around you. We are set apart and acceptable before God. And Paul said that this is reasonable. It's reasonable. But sometimes we find ourselves on a college campus and everything around us is so unreasonable. It's fun. It's challenging. Looks good, smells good, feels good. Boy, doesn't she look good. But it is amen? It's unreasonable. We're different. We're set apart. And those around you may cause you to leave your reasoning behind. What will it cost you? What will you leave behind for college? Because the college atmosphere also offers you the opportunity to leave your foundational understandings behind. But never forget this one thing. You are a Christian. A Christian. So it should be easily ascertained that you believe in God. Never forget that fact that you believe in God and behave as if you do. You believe in the Creator and the sustainer of all things, the God that has given you life. Never forget that you believe in God, no matter where you go. You know that heaven is prepared for you. And the only way to achieve that great goal is by faithfully serving God through our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ and our Lord. Who is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 1 through 6. Who tells us that no man can get to the Father but by Him. These are points that are foundational beliefs in your life. It's been for quite some time. And it's those beliefs that are going to become most challenged with your life in college. College is going to challenge your Christian belief to the very core. It's going to make you weary. It's going to make you tired. It's going to challenge you. There's an incredible amount of secular humanism permeating our educational system. It's there. It's there. What is a Christian education? What is that? We're going to speak to that this evening if it's God's will. But you have professors in these institutions of college that are going to mock your faith. There are those that will not believe in God. They're going to test your belief by allowing the God that you serve to become the butt of their jokes. Will you give in to that? Will you side with him? Will you allow the arrogance of humanism to have a place in your mind? Will you allow it to take over who you are and what you've believed in all of your life? You know, 1 Corinthians 1:20 and 21 sets forth a question that we must always have ready in our mind. It asks the question, where is the wise? They're not in college, I'll tell you that. Amen. They're not there. So if you're looking for the wise there, you're not going to find them there. Because the wisdom of the world refuses to see who God is. Don't be deceived by false confidence in man's opinion. Listen, God was, God is, and God will always be. He is God. He is the great I am. Those around you are going to compel you to leave your beliefs behind because you're in college now. You're grown now. Amen. So what will it cost you? What will you leave behind for college? The college atmosphere offers the opportunity for you to leave your morality behind. You know what the mass media says today? The mass media says that college is a time for experimentation. If it feels good, do it. Right? Y'all been there, right? Everybody been to college, you've been there, right? It feels good, just go on and just get it done. Just do it. After all, you're going to be away from home, right? Dad and mom can't see you. So you just go for it. You just turn up. The opportunity presents more than just a few drinking parties. It's there for you. As if it wasn't sinful enough, young people in this world are experimenting in the depths of sin, experimenting with drugs and with alcohol and all manners of fornication. They're even experimenting with homosexuality. Should I say it again? Yeah, I'm not afraid of that. We ought to understand that God is, and we experiment with sin too much in our lives when we are those that are Christians, and we should set Christian examples. Never compromise your faith for anything. Galatians 5:19 talks about the works of the flesh. But somebody in the media has said that those works of the flesh seems as if it's a list of college pastimes. If it's true what they say. But who's to believe the mass media? Who's to believe them? We know what truth is. And our truth is etched in our hearts from the beginning of our lives up until now. So what is it going to cost you to leave those things behind? The world is out there waiting on you, waiting on you. What is it going to cost you? There's a high price to pay when you're dealing with these momentary pleasures, because every one of those momentary pleasures that you find yourself in can bring an end to your life. And most assuredly, these momentary pleasures are going to sever your soul's relationship with God. There are going to be people around you in college that are going to prompt you to leave behind your years of moral training. Is that the price you're willing to pay for higher education? What will you leave behind for college? What are you going to leave behind? I want to encourage all of you, whether you're 9 or 99, go and get your education. Go to school. But don't leave your self-worth behind. Don't leave your soul behind. Don't leave the things you've always known behind. Don't leave the morality that you've been taught behind. Don't leave your faith behind for college. The time to choose is right now. Right now. Don't wait until the moment is beaten down on you, until it's the heat of the moment to make your decision. We need to hold fast to our faith and determine in our heart that you're going to remain faithful to God, because God will never let you down. There's nothing new under the sun. Listen to the people that have been there before you and told you all the things that they've gotten into and gotten out of. Now their lives now have changed. Listen to those people. Don't be like Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. His dad had died and he became king. He was a young man. And the Bible says the people in Jerusalem came to him and asked him, "Will you continue to allow us to have this hard labor as your dad did? Or will you allow us to be released from this hard labor?" And he says, "Go away for 3 days and come back and I'll give you an answer." And in those 3 days, he went and got advice from the elders. And the elders told him, "You know what, you need to release that yoke of bondage on those people, and they will serve you all of the days of your kingship." And then he went to his friends, the Bible says, who he had grown up with. You know, the ones who know everything and know how to tell you everything, but they know everything and nothing. And he listened to his friends, and he bound the yoke of slavery even more on those people of Jerusalem. He says, "Don't you know that my little finger is thicker than my daddy's waist and Solomon's waist? You're going to have a greater yoke of slavery from this day on." And the kingdom split. Jerusalem was divided. The kingdom was split. Listen to me. Don't allow Satan to split the decisions you made in your life. Don't allow him to take you away from all those things that you've graduated from when it comes to understanding God's will and his way. Let's stick to those things. Hold fast to your faith, because the truth will never change. You're going to change all of your life. It's just a part of growing. But the truth will never change, and God, the God that we serve, will never change. And there's hope. There's hope for us. But there's no hope for salvation separate from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. None. So use the education system to your advantage. Increase your knowledge. And when all of it is completed, use your education to the glory of God. Use that education to further the cause of Christ. Seek to be the best that you can be, not for yourself or for your parents, but for God. Be the best that you can be for God. It's all about growing and going. The Bible says to us in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 33. This is what the Bible says. Listen to God. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock you." Anybody ever tease you because you didn't finish school? You went to college and you acted like a fool and they're teasing you now. They don't have to tease you because you regret it yourself. You even talk about it. "Man, I wish I would have finished. I wish I hadn't did this or did that." But you can't go back, right? It's time now to count the cost right now while we are ahead. You can't go back. Let's finish. "Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consult whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he has, you cannot be my disciple." The point is that only when you forsake all that you have are you truly following Jesus. The point is only when you forsake others as well as your own desires will you be able to truly follow Jesus, or something else, listen to me now, or something else, whether it be college or whatever it is that you find yourself into once you leave home, or something else will have a greater pull on your allegiance than Jesus does. Something else is going to pull you away from the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What will it be? What will it cost you? What are you willing to pay for college. FOSFA, Stafford loans, Parent Plus. All those things cost money. When we fail to follow the direct allegiance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it costs us as well. And I want you to understand that you're not the only one that you're hurting. Children never look to the hurt that their parents experience when they take them through all those changes. Never look at that. Oh, but lo and behold, once they have children of their own, amen? What is it going to cost you? A little self-denial never hurt anybody. Never hurt anybody. Go to school, go to college, make the best of it. But deny the things of this world because they are only temporary and they're only seeking to kill you. You can get 50 degrees and still not be a success because God is not there. Self-denial is part of the cost. We must love Jesus more than our own being, more than our own self. We've got to love Jesus. Some people love college more than anything else. They go to college 5, 10, 15 years. They become professional students. And all they do is like college. They're not getting an education. They're just there because they can be there. Amen? Why are you still in college? Oh, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. Why are you still in the world? Because you don't want to go home to be with God? You're just there existing? The education that we need, our spiritual education, comes through God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Our spiritual education comes from God. He guides us and he teaches us, you see. Not only does he guide us and teach us, he calls us out of that world of darkness into the marvelous light. He calls us to his campus. Amen. The kingdom of Christ. No more cramming for tests. No more late night parties where you're drinking coffee trying to pass that test. Listen, the process of discipleship is what God is talking about right here. Not the decision to enter into it. He's talking about the process of it. To follow Jesus means we're going to follow him in the suffering because the world will reject you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So don't be surprised when you go off to college and you're rejected by those simply because you're a Christian. Count all suffering as glory to God. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard because you can't quite understand it because you're trying to be accepted. Remember one thing. You're already accepted by God. What is it going to cost you? What will it cost you? What is it going to cost me to be accepted by these people that I don't even know that I'm trying to please? What is it going to cost me to please God instead? Bearing the cross means we are willing to bear the pain of persecution and follow Jesus. You see, discipleship is not an invitation to the ease and comfort of life, but it demands sacrifice and suffering. And when you go to school, understand what you're there for. I remember a lady one time told me when I was in school, and she was an elevator worker. When they hit the elevators that time, you press the little buttons and the little gate closed and all. I got in the elevator, and Ms. Davis looked at me. She says, "Well, how are you doing, sir?" I says, "Ms. Davis, I'm not doing too well. I don't feel like studying." And Ms. Davis was a pretty sassy old lady. She looks at me. She says, "Well, what you here for?" That shut that down. Amen. Shut it down. So I want to ask you today, if you're pursuing knowledge from God and you're not doing it in the way that God has called you to do it, what are you here for? What are you here for? I don't feel like going to church this Sunday. What are you here for? I don't feel like praying. What are you? I don't feel like studying my Bible. I don't feel like fellowshipping with you. What are you here for? Ask yourself that question when you get to college and you're out of the view of your mom and your dad. When it's just you and God and you don't feel like it, ask yourself that question, what are you here for? What are you here for? Discipleship is more than just showing up to college to say that you've been there. A lot of people say, oh, I've been to college. Where's your degree? Look, a lot of people come to church, they don't get nothing out of it either because they never bring nothing. Amen? You got to bring something to. Amen? Jesus is calling us to a passionate pursuit of him. And only that passionate pursuit in Christ will have the dedication and resolve to give up anything else in this world to be with Christ. What will it cost you? What will you leave behind for college? Our God was, our God is, and our God continues to be the God and Savior of our lives. Go to college. Take God with you. Amen. You might be leaving your parents behind. You got to put on your big boy pants now. Amen. You got to put your big girl skirt on right now. And you got to remember one thing. It's not all about you at all. Not about you. It's about succeeding in whatever it is you set your mind to and allowing God to be the God to guide you into all those endeavors. You can do it. You know who God is. Don't allow the world to convince you that you don't know who he is. God calls us to discipleship today. He calls us to hear his word. He calls us to believe that he is the Christ, John 8:24. He says, I tell you now, unless you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. God calls us to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. He says it twice. He says, don't compare yourself to those people in Siloam, because just like they didn't repent and died, if you don't repent, you're going to die as well. We got to confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says, it's a mouth and heart exercise. It's something that we need to do often in our lives, confess Christ with our mouths and with our lives. We have to understand that when the world looks at us, they need to see Christ, not a college graduate, not a professor, not a secretary or a president. If we are Christians, and we are, when the world looks at us, no matter where we are, they need to see our light shining for the glory of God. And you can do it. Confess Christ. Let's be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. There are a lot of people that just can't get it because they will sit there and not walk up that aisle to be baptized into Christ. You might believe that God is your Savior, but until you put on Christ, you do not have Christ. Galatians 3:26-27 says, for we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you've never been baptized into Christ, you're not a child of God. Period. Let that be education. That's a hot fact for you. That's Bible. That's God's word. Let that take you to school. Mark 16:15-16 says, whoever believes, you're going to be saved. Listen to this. This is schoolwork for you. But whoever believes not shall be condemned. That's black and white. There's no gray areas with that. Sometimes your teacher might give you a little pass and say, well, you understand it a little bit. You can get a B, not an A. Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're getting an F. Amen. We don't want that F. We want to be where God is. If we can help you today to understand God's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing, Yield Not to Temptation, 724.